Matthew Aaron Show. That is 100. I am Matthew Aaron, www.thematthewaronshow.com, at Matt Aaron Show on Twitter, Matthew Aaron Show on Facebook. You can like us there. I am here at 8873, the Detroit-style Coney Dog owned by Mike Binder, where you can get your two-for-one Coneys during happy hour. And the best Coney Dog around, I must say. Probably the only Coney Dog around, too. we have a great show today. We have on the show today Dominique Garcia Lorido, who is daughter of Andy Garcia and one of the stars of Magic City. We also have on the show today Dennis Lee, a Chicago guy, so I'm excited about that, who directed the recent film Jesus Henry Christ. Before I get to anything today, though, to celebrate our 100th show, there's some people I want to get a hold of. There's some people I want to talk to. And by the way, my co-host?
Lee Capreas, hello.
Hello.
Pleasure to be here.
You always throw in the hello. I like that.
I know. That's my staple. You got
to
have a calling card. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
So, Lee, I wanted to ask you, what are some of your favorite moments from this show?
Your story about stripping down to your underwear and swimming out of your supposedly half-submerged in an underpass that was flooded.
Charles loves that story.
That was great. I enjoyed Stump the Terzo. That was a fun...
Stump the Terzo is always a fun segment.
The Monroe-Cleveland show? Or the one show where it was just... It was you, me, Pat, Lenny... just everybody, and we're all just physically abusing, just like verbally abusing each other. That was a lot of fun. If you can go back, I think it's show 8 or 9. The whole show is us busting on each other, and then we take time out to talk to the guest, and then we bust on each other. And it's in the way that you would expect, like, wise guys to do it, and the whole show is just hilarious. I think that was maybe the first show we had Pat on. Well, the first show we had DeStefano on was that show.
Yeah, and my favorite moment... I think I have a couple favorite moments. I liked when you and Terzo and Adam and we were talking about the real Forest Preserves, Mom.
Yeah.
And we were also talking about, what do you call it?
Bijou?
Bijou Theater.
Yeah, the Bijou.
Bijou Theater.
That's a good one. That's in our best definitely in our highlight reel.
Yeah. So I like that.
Everything Ron Zimmerman said was entertaining.
I love Ron. I love Ron. I need him back on.
Yeah, we got to do that show somewhere else, though. But that was a lot of fun.
Why?
I remember just feeling inspired and humbled by what some of the guests talk about. Cindy Cohen, Tom Dreesen. They really had a lot of knowledge to share, and it was really enlightening. It made me think that I didn't waste a whole lot of money and energy moving out here to... being entertainment. I liked your letter to Les Moonves.
Yes.
It was a while back. I know that was a while back. A little verbal improv play with Michael Ian Black. That was good. Very recently, the Tiny Lister show.
We lost both of our callers.
You and Tiny. That was great.
Yeah.
We're listening. All right.
Yeah, I mean, you know
what? All right. So I don't know if people can hear this over on the blog talk, but... if we lose internet connection, it comes back, and there's a British woman that says, since it appears you're calling back
into
a live
show. No, they can't hear it.
We are reconnecting you now.
But when Caesar edits it for iTunes...
it's so...
when Caesar edits it for iTunes, he has to edit that out. We hear it.
Yeah.
We record it.
But it's just
no one else hears it.
It's like, since it appears, it's like so matter-of-fact, like, casual about... like, you just lost your show, you have to reboot it, and it's totally going to make you look like an amateur.
I know.
Oh, it appears you're calling back into a live show. What a jolly good idea. Like, you know, like, it's like so British and pointless, like it's an Alice in Wonderland.
Yes, I agree. It is British and pointless.
Yeah.
I'm going to call Charles Salvatore.
Okay.
I'm told he has stories.
Hello?
Chuck?
Hey.
Welcome to the 100th edition of The Matthew Aaron Show.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, guys. Congratulations.
You're welcome.
I love how you say that, like, so snide.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
No, I'm laughing on the inside because I'm on a bus.
Okay, so Chuck, I got to hear about this parking garage story for our 100th episode.
Did you just hear what I said?
Yeah, I know. You're on a bus. You're going to have to share it regardless.
Yeah.
It's the 100th episode, Charles. I don't care what public place you're in. I need to hear about you, some woman, and a parking garage.
If the blue-collar people on the bus have any issue with this, just say it's the 100th show.
Oh, okay. No, so I'm in Nashville. I meet a girl there at one of the bars after the Hawks Predators game. We're talking, and, you know, we're BSing. Next thing I know, we're making out in the bar. So I get her number, and she's, like, texting me because she's from one of the suburbs out here. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And I'm like, I'm not really going to text her. So then I go back in the bar to look for my friend, and he's like, oh, I got to go to the bathroom. And I'm like, all right, I'll just wait for you. So I'm waiting at the bar, and I start talking to another girl. Then we go outside, and then we start making out, and I get her number. And my buddy comes out, and he's like, let's go. And I'm like, okay. So the first girl texts me, and she's like, hey, what are you doing? And I'm like, going back to my hotel. And she's like, oh, you should come over to my hotel. And so I
yeah.
text her. I'm like, what hotel is it at? So she tells me. And I'm like, to my buddy, I'm like, should I go? And he's like, why not, dude? And I'm like, all right. So then I start walking, and he actually meets up with group of girls that he was talking to earlier. But
yeah.
little did we know that these girls were all in the same group. So when I went over there, she was like tied, and I'm like, okay. So I like it. My buddy saw me, and he started laughing. He's like, what are you doing here? And then the girl went up to the girl that was texting me, and they were talking, and she's like, oh, I'm just going to go outside to smoke. And they had already seen me, and they're like, yeah, okay, whatever. And by the way, they had also seen me making out with another girl, so they hated me.
Okay.
So we start like start
he's really nervous on that bus right now.
I know.
Because he's getting to the part where you go ahead, Gerald.
Where I'm getting lower and lower as I talk.
Yeah, I can tell.
I feel like I should be paying a dollar a minute to hear this call.
Oh well. So we go outside her hotel and we're like talking and everything and we go for a little walk and we stop like near the hotel, and we start like making out and everything a little bit more. And now, then we go for a little bit more of a walk, and this time we start going into a parking garage. And we're making out in a parking garage. And you know, we're fooling around a little bit. And then we really start fooling around in a parking garage, mind you, probably near security cameras.
We were fooling around, and then we really started fooling around.
Why is it your friends, when they talk about their sexual encounters, either they're too graphic or not graphic enough?
Yeah, right. Well, Charles is on a bus right now. He's in public.
I know, but this is
super graphic.
This is the Nick Jr. version.
So go ahead, Charles.
I
continue.
Know. If I wasn't on a bus, I would probably be a lot more graphic.
That would be a lot more?
You're probably having the third least sexual conversation on the phone on the bus.
Probably.
You know what Chuck would be talking about if he wasn't on the bus?
Anal beads. I hate you.
Continue, though, Charles.
So we're making out in this parking garage, and then, you know, boobs are coming out. Body parts are being felt up.
Boobs.
And then,
wait. Charles, did boobs come out at this point?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Charles.
Oh, the puppies were out.
The puppies?
2002 reference for you.
So what happened, Charles?
So then fingers went a little south of the border.
Yes.
Got a little action down there going on her. So then we started like really doing it, and then we were like dry humping and everything.
Oh my god!
So then my fingers went south of the border again. And at that point, when she was done being excited, her hand went down my van.
Right down.
And then her head started to go down.
Okay.
And
okay, she was in a coughing fit.
Just at the point where it was really going to start getting fun for me, I got a flashlight in the face by a security guard.
Oh, no.
Telling us to leave or the cops would show up. So she right away runs off. Meanwhile, I'm stuck having to put it back in my pants and zip up. And I'm like, sorry.
Oh,
sorry.
Beautiful.
Charles, once again, you come through. But by the way, Chuck, I think someone on the other on another line wants to comment on your story.
Oh, God. Okay.
Mom, are you there?
Oh, I didn't even press the talk. Hi. Was that Chuck?
That's Charles.
Yeah.
Oh, first time caller, long time listener, Chuck, huh?
I forgot about that.
Ma,
again.
Did you
first
not...
time caller, long time listener.
Did you not hear Chuck's story? You're laughing like nothing happened.
I only heard part of it because I was having trouble. I actually ended up having to call the number to listen to the show because I couldn't get it to come up on my phone.
Oh.
And we're on our way to dinner. I mean, I just heard something about cops and flashlights, and I was hoping it wasn't Matthew's voice that I was hearing. So
no, that
know.
Was Charles
no, it was
talking
Chuck.
About getting it on in the car in a parking garage.
Yeah.
In a parking garage. Come on, Chuck. I expected better of you.
I'm a classy individual.
It was with a woman.
It was with a woman.
The Forest Preserve.
Oh, it's Nashville.
Yeah, what happened to the Forest Preserve? Don't you guys go to Forest Preserve anymore and do this stuff? That was a rage in high school. Not for me, but I've heard.
Ma, what do you know about Forest Preserves?
I know that a lot of people used to go there and have sex.
Oh, my. Ma, my ears are burning.
What? Oh yeah, your ears are burning.
She's
my ass.
Like, what, son? You park your car rear side facing the woods. It means that you want. Yeah, come on, don't you know?
Well, you would take somebody with you. You know, it was like Makeout Central. You know, I think it was Forest Preserve number 6 or something in Riverside or whatever.
I like the historical context your mom is putting on Chuck's story.
My mother's giving like the 1960s dirty version of Chuck's story.
Yeah.
One thing, I wasn't in a car.
You weren't in a car, Charles?
I missed that part of the story, Chuck. I am ever so sorry.
We're just like in the corner of the parking garage.
Oh.
Chuck, you're doing it like in the corner of a... Go ahead, I'll let mine...
Not even in the protection of a car.
I don't think there was a lot of protection period going on.
That's funny.
Hey.
Who's saying hey?
It sounded like your mom was going to be like, yeah, in my day,
we
went and got a phosphate and saw the new Robert Mitchum, and then...
Sarah, what do you want?
Are you going to ask Mark?
Okay, good story, Sarah. I'm glad you came on to tell it.
Okay, cool.
Okay, bye.
Okay.
Chuck, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
So my mother heard your story. She was very entertained.
Yeah, I'm glad. I did not want your mother to hear that.
Well, she's heard all your stories, Charles. How is it every time you come over to my house, though, my ma talks to you like she's never heard those stories, those filthy, awful stories?
They are. I'm just a dirty person.
It's like, is that Sex Anonymous or something?
Okay. Someone's got to call Leonard, too, by the way.
Yeah, call Lenny and, I don't know, a little Ronnie action in the future?
Oh, Ronnie's a good call. Now that you brought that up, one of my favorite stories from this show, since we're at the 100th episode, we can reminisce a little, is every time Lenny would call in, he'd be eating.
Yeah.
Mr. Sub, or there was something loud all the time with him.
Well, no, you
there's
said,
nothing quiet
you said
about
it sounded
that
like
guy.
He had a Ruffles potato chip bag on his head. But yeah, he would always either be eating or he would be driving in his car, probably going about 80, like with the window open, you could hear it, and then you'd be honking, and it'd be like, fuck you too, you know?
There's nothing quiet about Lenny.
No, yeah,
don't forget the time Lenny called in while he was ordering food.
Yeah, right.
Well, Terzo's done that too. They tried to top each other on that. What was I going to say? But Lenny, he would always call in, and he'd always have the most ridiculous stuff to say. And then I think Lenny realized that we were actually getting listeners, like a lot of listeners for him.
Yeah.
And he should probably not, as a politician, call in and talk about the things he was talking about.
If you listen, the first 10 shows, I mean, Lenny was dominated those shows.
Yes.
And you too, Chuck. We had you on a lot, too.
Charles needs to be on more.
This was before we had on Terzo and other people and all that, but it was pretty much Chuck and Lenny.
Hey,
the Chuck and Lenny show.
Hey, Charles, have you been watching Magic City like I told you?
I watched the first episode. I DVR'd the second one. I haven't gotten around to watching it.
What did you think of the first one?
It was pretty good. I liked it.
Pretty good. All right. That's what I thought. You like Dominique Garcia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I only saw the one episode. It was good. I liked it.
Listen, pal, she's got a lot of class. She ain't going to be going to no parking garages with you in Nashville.
Yeah, right. She's not
hey,
a parking
garage. Hey, you know what? When you haven't drank in like 6 weeks because you're dieting and you go out and party, things happen.
Things happen?
Okay. Yeah, in parking garages up against the wall.
So why things a parking happen. Garage? Was the alley behind the bowling alley taken?
First of all, I don't know where a bowling alley is in Nashville.
He's like, I don't bowl.
Every corner in Nashville?
Yeah, the parking garage was next to the hotel.
Wait, we got another call. Okay. Hold on, you hang in there, Chuck. Yellow, you're on the Matthew Aaron Show. Who am I speaking with?
What's up, buddy?
What's up, Pat? Yeah, Mr. Beef is on the line.
How you doing, Pat?
Pat DiStefano. It's been
good. How's everything going, guys? Long time no see.
Yeah.
It's been a long time, pal. You don't come out and visit me.
You know what? I haven't had time. I've been busy.
Right.
I tried getting out there last minute, surprising Lenny at the airport, but everything fell through.
With the girlfriend. You've been busy with the girlfriend.
No, I don't know. Who told you that?
Oh, who told me that? Come on, Pat. I'm not going to throw anyone under the bus here that's 6'3".
Now, what bird told you this? Was this an oversized bird that told you this?
Yeah, it was an oversized bird who likes to sometimes believe he was in Nam.
So, the big elephant, the rhino told you, Lenny.
Yeah, correct. The
was
rhino.
Was it Lenny?
Yes, was it Lenny?
It could have been Lenny.
Okay.
Yes, it
well,
was...
Well, Lenny misinformed you. There is no girlfriend. That's not the reason I didn't come out there.
Right.
We've been busy at work. My uncle was out of town, and he came back in. I was going to fly out there and surprise you, but it was too much.
It was too much. Too much. All right.
Too much stress at one time. I was like, you got to book a ticket, and then it was $800, and I was like, yeah, forget about it. I'll get them next time.
You know, Charles is on the line.
Chuck, how are you doing? Long time no see, buddy.
Hey, what's up, Pat? Yes, and thank God I'm finally off the bus.
You're finally off the bus?
Yeah, there was like a 40-year-old woman sitting right in front of me who was listening to everything, and I think she wanted to kill me.
Or she wanted to take you to touch a class.
Or she wanted me to take her to a parking garage.
Or she wanted to call in an Amber Alert.
I don't know. My favorite story of Charles is still the trailer park. The trailer park still reigns supreme. Now, Pat, I'm coming home probably for June and July. I'm coming to Chicago. We're going to do shows from Chicago. Are you going to be co-hosting?
What?
Are you going to be sitting in?
Oh, you better believe I'm going to be co-hosting.
No, I better believe it. I better believe. Is the boat out yet?
No,
is our boat out yet
boat
so we can
out,
go boating?
The water. I was there today. Yes, you got to come down. We'd love to have you again. I have a little too much root beer.
I'm never going to live that down.
That was a fun night. We got kicked out of 3 bars.
Oh, no. That was a different... Wasn't that a different
night?
Well,
Matt, night? as long as the girlfriend lets you come down, as long as the girlfriend lets me go...
Oh, you heard I have a girlfriend now, huh?
No, I'm saying me, because this oversized bird told you I had a girlfriend. So as long as she lets me...
Oh, yeah. Hey, I know the girlfriend's name and everything. I got the dish.
This bird with the angioplasty.
Oh, you got a name and everything. So this oversized bird really dished.
I had my ear to the cement floor, my friend. I heard everything. I heard it all.
Oh, yeah?
I heard it all. It's good. Good for you that you got a girlfriend. I'm proud of you.
you're coming back home. Now, how long are you staying home for?
I'm hoping a month and a half.
Oh, so you're going to deal with me for a month and a half every day, huh?
Oh, I hope so, pal. I hope we go get some Red Lantern Chinese.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, some Chinese. Oh, yeah.
How's the parents doing? Have you talked to them?
Yeah, Ma just called in to talk to Chuck about his sex life, and Dad's doing all right. Dad's doing all right. He's hanging in there. He's making waves. You know, I know what you're going through, though, Pat, with the girlfriend. I know that, you know, everyone falls in love. I got, like, 7 women I'm in love with right now. 7.
I heard. That's what I heard.
Oh, you heard this?
Bird told me.
Oh, yeah. Is it a big fat bird named Lenny?
Is it a chain-smoking bird with high cholesterol?
It could have been. I don't really recall. I don't remember.
Listen,
wouldn't Lenny be more of Snuffleupagus?
Yeah, he's only there so certain people could see.
Actually, I'm staring at Snuffleupagus. Our logo kind of has a Snuffleupagus thing to it. Do you ever notice that?
You got Caesar out there too right now, right?
Yeah, Caesar's out here. He's sitting next to me. I don't know what he's doing. He's doing something.
Is
he's doing work.
Doing, you go back?
He's doing things I don't understand. Alex went back. Alex is too good for me.
Okay. Well, Luis is too good.
He's not even calling in to say hello. You know.
Well, let me ask you something.
Yes,
speaking about too good.
Yeah.
You haven't called me back in like 2 or 3 months.
Oh.
Where'd my sunglasses go?
He's got you there, man. You have not called him back.
Yeah, it's been 2 or 3 months, buddy. Where have you been? He's talking about throwing someone out of the bus to look for people.
I have my sunglasses somewhere. All right. Here's the thing, Pat.
Let's hear your sales pitch. Let's go.
Very busy. I haven't called Thurzo
in like
a month.
You know, I've been pretty busy, too, but I managed to call you on the way home every night
from
work.
And by the way, Lee, what does this say on my phone? What does this say I called yesterday and at what time?
Hang on 1 second. I got another line here. Hang on real quick.
Yesterday, Pat DiStefano.
Hang on.
Yeah, it's there.
I called you yesterday, Pat.
He put you on hold, man. He's taking a more important phone call.
I love how on my show he puts me on hold. He calls into a radio show and then tells the radio show, can you hold the show for a few minutes? I got another call. I'm trying to talk. All right, let's go back to talk about Magic City.
It's his girlfriend.
For a moment, though. I want to talk about Magic City again. Okay. So I'm really into this show.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm addicted.
Yeah.
I'm addicted. It's very pulpy.
Yeah.
It's the Mad Men time in a Sopranos-esque kind of world.
I'm sorry about that. I had a little business I had to take care of. I'm back.
By the way, DiStefano, Lee read off on the show that I called you at 1 a.m. yesterday. You did not answer.
According to your phone.
Let me tell you this, though, Pat. I have called you back numerous times. You haven't answered.
Oh, no. I have yet to see your phone. One time you did, and I was at work, and I texted you, I'll call you right back. I'm walking into a meeting right now. I'm sure you were probably walking in to take a shit or something, whatever it was. Whatever it is, what it is. And you're like, I'll call you back. Never did. Never heard back from you.
Pat, I was watching Celebrity Apprentice last night. I saw Clay Aiken, and I'm like, I got to call Pat DiStefano. And I got right on the dial, and I ring-a-ding-dinged you. It was at 1 a.m. my time, 3 a.m. yours.
Oh, and I'm going to answer at 3 a.m.
Well, hey, I called you back, pal.
You didn't call, though. You think you called the wrong number.
Why did you look at
Clay Aikens and then call me? I don't get that. What is this? How do you get this?
I don't know. Chuck gets it more than you do.
I just don't get it.
You know what? By the way, in honor of Leonard not being here, can I just play a little something real quick?
Absolutely.
What are you...
Bird.
Oh.
That's Lenny's favorite.
Oh, it's his tune?
Yeah, Lenny loves surfing word. Surfing bird. Doesn't Lenny always sing surfing bird? I don't know. We're reminiscing about all you people when I should be doing a show.
Right.
No.
Can I get paper for a sec?
In a minute. Once you come back, the shows are going to get a little bit better. I'm not going to lie to you because we'll be around more.
News.
You know, and
you
that's how it works.
Would be big news.
Well, they're going to get funnier in a crude way.
I'm hearing a radio feed. Could you get your show under control?
A headline regarding mass awareness of a certain avian variety.
Oh.
What are you talking about?
What's the matter with this whole thing? I can't even hear you.
It was my understanding that everyone had heard.
Heard what?
Brian, don't!
Oh, yeah. That's
Lenny's favorite.
That's his favorite thing.
Have you ever seen Lenny? Pat, you know this. Bird's the word. Lenny, when he's drunk. How bad?
Never heard of it.
You never heard him do that?
This is just a Matthew Aaron lie that's coming out right now.
Along with me calling you back, I'm guessing.
That's another lie, too. Well, you got two lies.
You know what? I called you back numerous times. Why are we still on this topic? Pat, have you been watching Magic City?
Watching what?
Have you been watching Magic City?
I haven't had time. I've been busy.
Pat,
I sent you a text. I was on the Game of Thrones kick, though.
Get off that Game of Thrones kick. Get on the Magic City kick. I sent you a text 2 weeks ago. I told you got to watch it.
Oh, no, no. Game of Thrones
is
awesome.
Is it on the stars?
You like Game of Thrones, Charles?
Oh, I love Game of Thrones.
Why?
Well, it's a great show.
Is it on the stars or what channel is it on?
Yeah, it's on the stars. I don't think they go by the stars.
No, I don't.
No,
yeah.
But it's on stars.
What?
I don't get the stars. I get HBO.
It's on stars. It's on Friday nights. You gotta tune in, pal. And then you can DVR it, or you can watch them on demand.
I don't get the stars. I get HBO.
Who doesn't get stars?
I don't.
Lots of people.
Well, you gotta get stars. You got Spartacus, which I know Chuck loves.
Great show.
I've seen Spartacus. Pretty good.
Boss. With Kelsey Grammer.
Very good.
Very good, right. Charles, do you like Boss?
No, but it's okay.
Do you like Boss, Chuck?
I can't watch it.
Why?
Because I just can't watch a show about Chicago politics.
Hits too close to home for you?
Wherever he is.
Does it hit too close to home for you, Charles?
Yeah, it's too aggravating, and why would I want to watch it when I live it every day and I hate it?
Are you still working? Are you still working for the Tumblers, Chuck?
Yes.
You are?
How's that going, Chuck?
Yeah.
The Jesse White Tumblers?
Yeah.
All right. You know what? Do we have to discuss all of this? Because they're probably listening.
I love how the guy is open to discussing him getting caught by security guards with his finger in some girl's vajay while his wiener's hanging out in a parking garage.
But he won't go into detail.
Jesse White Tumblers? Do we have to go there?
I know. Do we have to go into why I don't watch Boss?
Vagina. Her tongue was on the tip of my shaft when the security guard flashed the light in my face.
What? Who said that?
Oh.
There's something wrong with you, pal.
Now
Pat is looking down on Chuck.
Hold on.
And our guest is here.
We got to clean up the show now. Dominique's
no,
here.
That was good.
Dominique's here. We got to clean up the
show. That was the 100th show magic.
We don't have clean it up yet. Earmuffs.
Yeah, right. So anyway, do you ever see old school earmuffs? Okay.
Charles, back to you.
Now you got a guest coming in?
Yes. But Charles is being filthy.
How much did you pay to come in? They're not coming to see you. You're paying them.
This is Dominique Garcia.
I love it.
I'm sorry?
Dominique Garcia Laredo, Pat.
She's
Andy,
on Magic City.
Yeah, Pat. Magic City. Andy Garcia's daughter.
I gotta see this.
Gotta see Magic City.
One thing I think we should mention is that Matt's friends don't watch really a fraction as much TV as Matt.
No, they watch no TV.
Right. So,
we got jobs and stuff to do.
Oh, Charles. It's Dominique Garcia Laredo.
Oh, yeah, just Google her. She's really cute. Tell her she's extremely
beautiful. All right, I'll let her know you think she's cute. That's Andy Garcia's daughter.
That's right.
Yeah, she's good looking.
That's good, Pat. That's
right.
Good. Yeah, all right. So, Pat, you got to watch Magic City, though. Okay.
I'll watch. You know what? Just for you, I'm gonna watch it.
I'm gonna give you three reasons.
I'm gonna watch it.
I'm gonna give you three reasons to watch it, pal.
Well, now I got a new reason. She's cute. I want to watch it because of her.
There's four reasons. 1959 Miami City. Okay. Miami Beach. 1959. How can you not want to be a part of that? Right. Right off the bat.
Right.
Two. Jeffrey Dean Morgan is fantastic. Really good. Danny Houston's good. The acting's great.
Yep.
Top to bottom. Alex Rocco, Dominique Garcia. The whole cast is good. Kelly Lynch. Everyone's good. Here's the third reason to watch it, Pat. And the women have to put on earmuffs next to me. Boobs. There's boobs in the title credits, for God's sakes. That's three stars right out the gate. Three out of four stars. You can't go anywhere but up from there.
I'm
going to
check this out.
I thought that would get you to check it out.
You know what? Honestly, you know what's
going to
get me to check it out? I want to see it because of her. That's the only reason I'm
going to
watch it right now.
You want to see it because of Dominique?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. She's very good on it.
We're bringing her on right now.
Yes. Here we go. Okay. Pat and Chuck, do you want to say hello to Dominique before I let you go? Hold on. She's putting her headphones on. She can't hear you yet. She can't hear you yet. All right. You are talking to a couple of my greaseball buddies back home.
Awesome.
Like myself. Patrick DeStefano and Charles Salvatore. Say hello to Dominique.
Hi, Dominique.
Hello, Dominique.
What up, guys?
How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Pat, is that how you talk to a woman?
Episode. It was great.
You know the first episode?
No, he was talking about you.
The second one, I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, thank you so much.
The first episode was very good.
Oh, thank you. I actually think the second and third like are better. I think they get. You saw all three?
Yeah, I've seen all three.
Yeah, so you agree? But thank you. I'm glad you guys like it.
So Charles is into it. Thank you, Charles. Do you have anything else to say, Dominique? Hey, Charles, did you ever see City Island? I think you'd like that a lot.
No, I haven't.
Oh.
Pretty
well,
funny.
It's Andy Garcia. It's Dominique. It's Juliana Margulies. Come on.
Stephen Strait is also
Stephen
in,
Strait's in, it,
in Magic City.
Oh, I'll check it out.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. It's funny.
All right, Charles. Thank you for sharing your filthy stories with us, but we need to class it up now.
No problem. Congratulations.
Yeah, 100th episode. Thank you, Charles. I'm glad you could join us.
Yep.
Yeah, congratulations, Matt.
Oh, Pat, do you have anything to say to Dominique before I let you go?
Dominique, you're extremely good-looking. If you ever come to Chicago, please get my number from
Matt.
Oh,
man.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, she's going to slip me that number right now. Okay, I hung up on him. I did set him up, didn't I? Forgive me for thinking he'd say something appropriate. Dominique, let's talk about Magic City.
Okay.
I am addicted to this show.
Are you?
Addicted.
Okay.
Addicted.
It's a good addiction.
Okay. All right. I gave Pat three reasons he has to watch this show. And Lee and I talked. I said this to Lee the first night we watched it. The cast is great. 1959 Miami, what's better? Okay.
I don't know.
That's great. And then there's boobs. Lots of boobs.
Lots of boobs. And Bush.
Yeah, and Bush. And Bush. Maybe I should have kept Pat on.
This isn't like a PG-13.
No.
Like radio show, right?
Oh, no.
You might have to
bleep
me a lot.
No, the first 30 minutes, my producer wishes he could take back, I'm sure.
Okay.
So let's talk about Magic City, though. How did you get involved with this project? Obviously, Mitch Glazer created it.
Yeah.
Mitch Glazer, who's a friend of Mike Binder, who owns this restaurant, Detroit-style Coney Dog here, 8873 West Sunset. Mitch Glazer wrote this. I know Mike read it. He said it was great. Mike liked it a lot. How did it get in your hands? How did you get involved with this show?
Last year during pilot season, Mitch knew me. He had asked me to come in to read, and so I read for the first time with Mitch and one of the producers and the casting director. Then I came in and read with Christian Cook. And then I tested for the network with Christian. It was sort of like a 2-3 week process.
And who would you test for? Did you test for all the female
the
characters? Or?
No, just Mercedes.
Just Mercedes.
Mitch had only like thought of me for Mercedes.
Okay, but did you test with everybody that was Jeffrey Dean Morgan's already involved?
Just with Christian Cook was cast. All the guys were cast. Before the girls. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, so like...
Except
like,
Kelly Lynch. I'm pretty sure she was a shoe-in.
Yeah, she was. I think she was already cast in that part, but I did all the girls testing for Lily, tested with Stevie.
Wow.
And there was just like me and one other girl from Mercedes testing with Christian, so...
Yeah, because you and Christian have this relationship on the show. That's
right.
Who most of your scenes so far have been with. What is... I feel like this show's a slow burn. It's like reading a good pulp fiction novel,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And I kind of feel like you have all these stories. Everyone has a storyline.
Yeah.
Everyone's got...
Everyone can have, like, their own movie.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm wondering, can you clue us in on where you're headed? Because all we really see right now is Christian, he kind of has the hots for you.
Yeah.
And you're kind of playing it, like, sweet and shy and cool. But this last episode, you kind of were throwing out a couple hints.
Yeah.
So where's this headed?
Well, you know, I think she's just a little bit, you know, reserved at first because they are friends. And so it's like crossing that friendship barrier, you know, and you like start falling for your friend. It's a little weird.
Right.
So he's kind of being the aggressive one at first. And so she's a little conservative about it all. And she didn't really want, she's leaving in a couple months to go, you know, travel the world. So this whole connection with him is kind of catching her off guard.
Yeah.
So there's no reason to really get close if she's got to leave.
I got to say, I've seen you in a lot of things. I'm a big fan of your dad.
Oh, great.
You and your dad have obviously worked 1,000 times together
yeah.
by now. so this role's a little different for you, though, in my mind.
Yeah.
I've never seen you act this way where you're shy and reserved and you're kind of like a working, you know, you're a maid in this hotel. When you get that dress in the first episode, it's like a really sweet moment for you. You know, you played it off. There was no grittiness. There was no, you were really sweet. Now what's your goal when you go into this first big pilot? You go into this pilot, what is your goal for this character to come off as?
The thing what I loved about her was that I felt she was very modern for her time. Like
yeah.
most girls at 21 years old in the late 50s, especially with a Cuban Catholic background, were really just, you know, settling down, being housewives, having kids, and this girl just wants to go travel the world.
Yeah.
She's an only child. She's just very independent. She's working. And I really liked that about her, and I kind of related to her with that. I mean, most of my friends are, like, getting married now and are having kids, and I'm still just kind of, like,
yeah.
focused on my own shit. So I related a lot to that about her, and especially when I was that age, I was sort of just focused on the acting thing and nothing else. But I really want her to... just have this honesty about her and really just fight for what she believes in. I don't want her to be this meek
right.
little, you know. She, you see that in the relationship with Danny, you know. She's not afraid to say no to him.
Right.
She doesn't see herself as, you know, she doesn't put herself in a class below him or anything like that. She doesn't.
No, I think that first episode's a really, I think your character gets a really great look in that pilot episode. And I kind of just felt like now, okay, the third episode comes and maybe you guys are getting finally close to
yeah.
like maybe something happens. What can we expect, though, maybe in the fourth, fifth episode? Should we be looking out for this relationship to grow?
For sure.
Are you guys going to get involved with other characters on the show?
Because
right now it's mainly been you two.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you going to get involved with the Jeffrey Dean Morgan character or Danny Houston's character or Stephen Strait? Where
not with them. I actually develop a little relationship with Olga's character.
Oh, okay.
Vera.
Vera, yeah.
Kind of accidentally. And I don't really want to give too much away,
right.
but we just, you know,
as we
have
saw
a
in the
couple
last
moments
episode,
with her.
Yeah.
And then I do have more interactions with my dad, with Yul Vasquez, his character,
okay.
Victor. So, but the relationship with Mercy and Danny, what I can like say without giving too much away, they do just get closer and
yeah.
just hang out a lot more together. And she tends to let her guard down a lot more. And I think this relationship is a good way of distracting herself from what's going on with her mother stuck in Cuba, you know?
Yeah.
It's not really kind of dealing with how painful that is. This is just this really like light and happy thing going on with Danny.
Let me ask you this. You were talking about how your personal background plays into this character where all your friends are going off getting married, having kids, whatever.
Yeah.
And I know what you're going through with that right now because I'm out here doing my show and trying to act and write.
Yeah.
I get it. What was so important for you, though, because obviously you're the daughter of someone who's a very, very good actor, and Andy Garcia, good director, good just a filmmaker. What was it... How important was it for you to, like, kind of make your own way, and how hard do you have to work to do it? Can you share with us, like, how hard it's been?
I mean, it's a constant thing. I think it's something I'm always going to have to deal with.
Yeah.
There's no, like, disassociating myself with my father. And it's kind of a double-edged sword because I don't want to be disassociated with him because I have a very close relationship with him. I'm very proud of him, proud to be his daughter, but I am my own person, and I do really work hard at what I do, and we're different, and we would choose a lot of different roles, and we have different paths. And if it was really that easy, I would have, you know, made it a long time ago. I'm 28 years old, almost 29, you know, and this is...
When's your birthday?
August 16th.
August 15th,
yeah,
and
right.
I'll be 29.
And me too, I'll be 29. That is
crazy.
Really crazy.
Oh, that's
this
weird.
Is, yeah.
Soulmates.
Soulmates. This
weird.
Is, this is
crazy.
Happening. This is all happening.
All right.
You know, it...
I'm butterflies now.
No, but you know, it is like this thing, and I can either like just dwell on it, or I can just, it is what it is,
but,
you know?
But you studied Strasbourg, you went to UCLA,
yeah,
right?
I studied Meisner a lot
or
more.
Or Meisner, yeah.
Like when I was like in high school.
Yeah.
I would take, you know, night classes there with a lot of older people
yeah.
when I was in high school, and then I went to UCLA for theater.
I just want to dispel the perception that you call up Dad and you're in a movie.
No,
it doesn't work like that.
It doesn't work like that, and I've auditioned for a lot of his films and never got a callback.
Yeah.
But we've worked together on a few projects, but it's always happened accidentally. It was never something we sort of planned.
Yeah, that's great. Because I just think you're a really good actress.
Thank
and
you.
I kind of want people, in my mind, I wish people just look at you as like this good actress,
thank
not
you.
Just Andy's daughter. And because I know how it is. I have a friend right now, Mike Binder, who owns a restaurant. His son wants to be an actor, and I'm always telling Bert, people are going to think you're Mike Binder's kid, but you just got to not worry about that,
right.
Not think about it, just do your thing.
Yeah, I mean, if I just focus on that, then I'll just go crazy. I mean, it's. I think in the end, your work will speak for itself, and my dad just always instilled
yeah.
in me to work hard at my craft, and in the end, then
and
if it's good, then they'll respond
yeah.
to that. If it's not, then...
This
won't.
Is a great
yeah.
opportunity for you too, Magic
Thanks.
City, because the big role, I mean, you're part of the main cast. I think there's already a second season
yeah,
underway that Mitch is writing it. Or that's awesome.
It's great.
So I think this is a great opportunity for you because I think you're really good in this role.
Thank
I
you
really
so much.
Do.
That means a lot.
I really do. Now, what is it like working with Christian then? Do you guys have the same type of chemistry? I mean, not romantically, obviously, but the same kind of chemistry off as you do on? Like, is it
yeah.
an easy switch?
It's like...
How do you guys
insane.
Prepare scenes together?
We never have rehearsed a
really?
Scene before we shoot it.
Are you going to rehearse for that first kiss? Are you going to do the Jenny Garth?
No.
You ever hear that
no,
story?
No. we both kind of agree that we like everything to be fresh, but...
Really?
It was one of those weird things when we met in the chemistry read. It was like, we come from two different countries,
yeah.
different backgrounds. We've never met. We have, like, nothing in common. And it was like I knew him my whole life when I met him.
Wow.
And we just clicked. And that was how it was in the chemistry read. It was, like, very, very comfortable. And we have that relationship in real life. We're always just playing around. We have, like a lot of physical chemistry and... People sometimes think we're, like, dating, you know, when they meet us, but it's just not that. We're friends, and that's just what it is. You have chemistry or you don't, and so that, I think that's why it reads so well.
It's important that you guys hit it off, though.
For sure,
off.
And that's why
yeah.
you do a chemistry read. I mean,
yeah.
you can have an amazing actor who's good-looking and all this stuff, and then there's no chemistry. I've had those instances.
Could you explain for our listeners, what's a chemistry read like? What's the purpose of it? Why do they do it? Explain to them the process, because I don't know if they know.
Well, usually, in you're auditioning for a role, and then when they call you back and you play opposite someone who's the lead in that, they'll be already cast. So you read the scene instead of with the casting director, you read it with the other actor. And just for them to see if we have chemistry or not, you know, if there's a spark, you can always tell. And
yeah.
that can make or break a film or a show or,
yeah.
you know, a storyline. So I think it's a really important thing to do, especially when you're doing a love story, especially one like this where it's first love where everyone can relate to. And
I'm assuming you just go into these chemistry reads naturally. You can't plan anything
you
out.
You can't
be like,
that.
All right, I'm going to be flirty with them off
yeah,
screen
you can
or
watch
whatever.
All their movies. It doesn't matter. I've
yeah.
literally read with, like, great actors who are hot and like
yeah.
it's just not there like
yeah.
it was with Christian. It was just like I was very comfortable. I don't know
is that
what
the,
it is.
Is that the sign of a good actor when you can connect with people like that right away, or is it just that chemistry's there or it's not there? What is it like? What
I think
do,
it's
for
I
you?
Think it's both. I think it's a combination of a few things. I think it's a good actor. I think it's just someone who's open generally in life, like
yeah.
when we're not doing the scene, just talking. And just there's just something else, the stars align. There's some kind of, you know, when you connect, like you don't know what that is. Like you just connect to somebody.
Up until Magic City, what was your best experience working in film or television and or with who? Or what's like your top experiences?
I think City Island. Was
yeah,
that
was a big moment
that
for you?
That was a big moment for me. I mean, that part was something I was obsessed with for like 2 years. Sort of under the table. I had read my dad's script, and
yeah.
it was a part they were offering to a lot of names, and I never thought I would even... I got that audition because I auditioned for Entourage. And it
yeah.
was the same for, like, a guest spot, and it was the same casting director, and they were like, nobody wanted to play that part because it wasn't a lead. None of the names they offered it to, and she like told, you know, the director, actually Don's kind of like Andy's daughter's kind of right. They thought I was from New York when they met me, kind of. They were just and I auditioned. I did a chemistry for that too with Stephen Strait. I auditioned twice,
jeez.
And they went back to New York to meet with other actresses. I'm like, they're just gonna cast some chick from the Bronx. They're not gonna cast some Cuban from the Valley. But I auditioned for a lot of my dad's films that were even smaller and to play his daughter, and they didn't cast me. So I didn't. I really did not expect to get it, and it was something I was in love with for like 2 years.
Is there any kind of personal connection to Magic City because of your Cuban heritage?
Oh, big time. Big time,
What's that for you?
Well, my parents came to Miami during the revolution from Cuba in 1960 and 1961. And so this is, you know, the first episode is when Batista leaves, and it's the beginning of the fall of Cuba. And so this was something that my whole family went through. And it's so insane that I'm like actually like,
do you talk to your parents about, like, that time period?
Well, yeah,
or?
I mean, my whole life I've been talked to about it. You know, this was something that my dad's always been very outspoken about, like, the whole, you know, Castro regime and being against it. And my grandmothers are both alive. My grandfathers have passed away. But before I went to shoot, I talked to them a lot because they would visit Miami Beach while they were in Cuba, you know, before they left for good in this exact time period. They both spent their honeymoons there, and they have, like, pictures and newspaper clippings, and we went through it all. And just to talk about, you know, what it was like being a young woman in that era, you know.
So how much, when you see these newspaper clippings that your grandma shows you, right, and then you watch this show, is it, like, dead on?
It's dead on.
Really?
Yeah, it's really weird, and they're both huge fans of the show. It really means a lot. Like, I watched it with one of my grandmothers, and it was just, she was like singing along to music. Like, when they showed like clips of, you know, Batista leaving and Castro coming in on the little TV, you know, on New Year's, she turned to me, she was like, oh my God, I know this, like that's exactly it. Like, I mean, and they remember these hotels in Miami Beach that look just like the Miramar Playa, so.
Yeah.
And both, like, my uncle and my dad were both Cabana boys. They grew up in Miami Beach. So it's, like, it's kind of an homage to my family in a way, and I'm representing them.
That's great.
It's kind of weird, you know?
Yeah, well, it's funny.
Like, meant to happen in a weird way.
Yeah, right, like fate, because it's kind of like, and the other thing is sometimes the roles best suited for you are the ones that you have the most personal connection to.
Well, of course.
Connection to.
Of course,
yeah,
you know? You always want to sense from truth, and when it's truth this far, like, deep, like, where it's, like, your history is the same, that's just insanity.
Are you at the point where you're still auditioning for movies and stuff, or do you get offered roles now?
No, really?
No,
I audition, and I still, like, struggling. Yeah, it's a hard process.
What's the worst audition you've ever been on?
Okay.
Yeah.
I will tell you.
Yeah, please.
So I auditioned for, I don't know if it was out or if it just was a flop, or I don't know. It was called De Gatón, the movie.
What was it called?
Like, it's about De Gatón, like that type of music.
No, yeah, I never heard of it. No.
Well, I guess it never. I don't know if that's what the title
is. It may end up something else.
I went and auditioned for, I think it was like produced by Jennifer Lopez, or I don't know. And so it was, I guess, this movie about like a Dirty Dancing, but about De Gatón.
Yeah.
I don't even know. So I go in, I read for this, and then she's like, all right, you ready? I'm like, ready. She's like, she turns on Daddy Yankee on her little stereo, and she's like, go. And she wanted me to break it down, like, booty dance that I got on in this, like, small little room with, like, bright lights. And I'm like, I mean, are you going to give me 5 shots of tequila before? Like, I'm not, like, how am I supposed to do that? So I just, like, I broke it down, and I literally wanted to kill myself.
Wow.
I walked out of there like I've never felt more ridiculous.
Did you not get a call back?
I didn't get a call back.
So that made you feel even worse? No.
It wasn't because of my moves. I was probably not like Puerto Rican looking enough or something. It was this pale, like, tall Eastern European chick, like, pretending to be Latin. But I can dance.
Yeah. Okay.
But I was so embarrassed. I was like, do you know what it is to booty dance broad daylight? Like,
you know,
in a little room? Like,
no, I know what it is to, like, to booty dance by
you
myself.
Do?
by myself, though. Yeah.
I was like, give me a guy. Or
not
give
for,
me
like,
a
casting agent.
A pull, or I don't know. it was not a good time, but it's a good story.
Yeah. I mean, it's not an offensive story either,
yeah.
Which is nice.
When they catch you off guard with things like that, like sing, dance, and just like, they tell me to sing. It's like, well, look, yeah. I'm apologizing in advance.
My favorite thing, when I went into audition once, I have never told this story. I went into audition once, and my favorite thing is when they give you scripts from stuff that you're not auditioning for.
Oh, all the
for.
Time, yeah.
They're like, hey, read
and
this for me.
It's always Goodwill Hunting.
Yeah, and it's bad, and they're like, read this for me. And I'm like, well, what the fuck is this?
No, I've done the Goodwill Hunting, scene, like 8 times on different auditions.
Really?
Like, it's that same scene where, like, they're breaking up.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I play
yeah,
both parts. I mean, like, they just choose that when it's, like, those secretive scripts and they don't want to give it away.
Yeah, that's what, like, it always is, a secretive script.
For some reason, that's like the go-to.
Yeah.
Oh. Whether I'm auditioning for, like, Wonder Woman or, like, who knows. Like, it's, like... That's the go-to scene. I don't know.
Do you have any films that are going to be coming out? Did you do any work yet in the...
No, not during hiatus. Because, you know, we finished, like, during, right before Thanksgiving. So I sent in a couple dates, but didn't get anything. And then it was, it's kind of pilot season, and I think I can't do, and I've been on this, like, press tour the past month. So
and you can't do any hiatus. How long's the hiatus?
Well, we're going back to shoot, like, first week of July for 6 months, so
it's
kind of small, unless I do one scene in a movie or something. But it's all, you know, it's still auditioning. I don't think I'm a good auditioner.
Really?
I don't know.
I don't know if I am either. You just don't know. You just go in and be yourself, kind of, to a degree, and then you're like,
I'm
whatever.
Not going to pretend like there's a monster behind you. Like, there's not. Like, I'm not that good.
I love that.
You know?
That's great.
Like, there's not a monster behind you. There's an air vent.
Do you do theater at all?
I haven't in, like, 8 years.
Really? Yeah. So college, probably.
Well, I did. The last play I did was this show at the Improv Olympic for, like, 3 months.
Yeah? How was that?
It was awesome. This guy, Mikey Day, wrote it.
Yeah, I know Mikey Day.
Yeah, he went to UCLA.
Yeah.
And a couple other great actors.
So you did improv.
Who are on SNL.
That's wild.
Well, it was scripted, but yeah, it was really funny.
Yeah,
it
so you worked with a lot of improv people, though.
I mean, I could be funny. I've done all, I've done like all like, really dramatic like roles, but like, I can shoot the shit.
You want to do more comedy?
Oh, for sure.
You'd be good in comedy.
We
have a lot of women on the show. I've had a lot of women, female comedians on the show, and they're always great. Nora Dunn was great, as Lee will tell you. Nora Dunn was great. I can only think of Nora Dunn. But here's the deal. Like, it seems when I meet the women that are, like, doing more dramatic stuff, they're really fucking funny in person.
Well, comedy is a serious business. That's what people don't get. You got to play it straight or else it's not funny.
Yeah.
So it's, like, it's the same kind of training, you know? I mean, but improv, is definitely a skill, you know?
Yeah. I mean, did you like when you did comedy? Like, you liked when you did that, right?
Oh, it was so much fun.
Yeah, it was so much fun.
Yeah,
I had done
like a really depressing like play right before, and I was like, I need to do something good. Well, like in light and like
City Island's a comedy.
For sure.
So was that fun for you too?
Well, here's the thing. When I read the script, I didn't think it was a comedy. And then we did the table read and everyone was hysterically laughing and I was like, oh, this is funny. And I think the reason why it was funny was because no one was trying to be funny.
Yeah.
And everyone sort of was, like, that whole scene at the end when we're all confessing, everyone was hysterically crying. Everyone was really upset, but everyone laughed.
Julianna Margulies is brilliant in that movie. She's
like,
great.
I mean, her and my dad really, like, they didn't get as much recognition as they should have gotten for that.
I agree.
They were so good, and she came on to that, like, 2 days before.
Yeah.
And I remember when that script, it was like a hard part to cast. It was like the last part they casted. And I was like, well, maybe because there's nothing really going on that crazy with her. That's why, you know, it's like there's the stripper, there's the kid who's feeding like overweight women. There's like the guy, like everyone's got like this thing and she really doesn't have this weird thing besides she's, you know, kind of hitting on the younger guy, which isn't that weird. But like, so I was like, maybe that's why, but she took that and like turned it into, I mean, she stole scenes, I thought.
Yeah, and she's there. She's also there to play it straight.
Exactly.
Because it's funnier.
She's so good. I learned so much just watching her. Like, she's such a pro. And
quirky comedy only works if there's someone straight for the quirky comedy to hit like a brick wall.
For sure.
And it stops. Because
yeah.
The straight person standing there not laughing, not
yeah.
into it. And that makes it funny.
Yeah.
That's what makes it funny.
Yeah. And then, like, Ezra Miller is, like, one of his first jobs. He comes in. We're like, where did this kid come from?
Yeah.
I was just stuffing my face with, like, all the food that I wouldn't break in every scene because I was supposed to be the only one that wasn't amused by him.
So do you do, like, the whole, like, actress diet and everything, speaking of food?
No.
We talk about food a lot on the show.
I live life.
And I got to tell you, being Cuban, I can't imagine you're dieting.
Look,
like,
if I need to go on a diet, I'm going to eat triple the amount. Like, it's, you know, like, for me, it's not, like, if I think about it, I'm going to be more, you got to live life.
What's, like, your favorite meal? Like
a burger.
A burger?
Yeah.
You love a burger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, a burger. Like, for me, that's, like, I need one a week.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not, well, I need, like, seven a week.
Yeah,
but, yes.
I mean,
see, that's why you look like you and I look like me. She's
no.
like, I need one
well,
a week.
I
am so bad.
I mean, I can't be crazy because, you know.
Yeah, me. Well,
whatever,
yeah.
But you know, it's you gotta live life. You gotta enjoy life.
I agree.
You can't be crazy.
What are some of your favorite places in L.A.? Because you've been here your whole life,
yeah.
right? Yeah. So, what are some like the best restaurants out here?
Ooh.
There's no good pizza out here, by the way.
Good pizza, Pagliacci's.
Stella Rosa is
Pagliacci's
good.
Pagliacci's in the Valley is like really good.
I'm in the Valley. I'm in Studio
you
City.
You ever had it?
No.
You gotta get it.
It's
Pagliacci's.
Good?
It's in Studio City.
I know. It's in Studio City.
Yeah.
I haven't had it.
Oh, it's really good.
Good.
Get the giant size pizza. It's like a
yeah.
slice this big.
All right.
Oh, it's really
I'll
good.
I'll try it.
That's really good.
I'm from Chicago. I'm pretty tough on
they
pizza.
They have this paper-thin pizza at Vitello's on Tujunga. It's
okay.
like crispy paper thin. Like, that's the best thing on the menu there.
Like, I like cracker
it's
thin.
Like a cracker.
Yeah,
and
I like
it's,
it.
You have, just go there for that.
Yeah.
I love Little Don's, like, in Los Feliz.
Is there good, like, if you're getting Cuban, you eat Cuban at home, right?
At home. There's no good Cuban food here.
Yeah,
sorry.
You make
I mean,
your own.
Porto's
yeah.
is really good Cuban, like pastries and sandwiches and stuff like that. Have you been to Porto's?
No.
Oh,
yes. I have been to Porto's. I love, yeah, I go to Porto's. The lines there are ridiculous because it's the best.
It's the best. It's like it because it started by a Cuban family out of their garage.
The
and
Cuban
just,
sandwich is great. Though.
Yeah, I mean
I love
Cuban
it.
Food. You get it good in Miami, or you
that's
get it from
a Cuban joint.
House.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's all Cuban food. You
I
gotta
didn't
hit
know.
It up. We
I
can
didn't
go.
Know.
I live right
just
by.
Just all tastes
we
good,
go.
So.
No, it's good.
You live right over in the Porto's area.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's
so.
Good.
Oh, I'm
you're
a Valley
in
the, kid.
You're
I'm
in
a Valley
the Burbank
girl.
Area?
No, it's Luka Lake.
Okay.
But I'm a Valley kid. I grew
that's
up a Valley
close.
Kid.
You know what's weird about living out here is, yeah, I'm like in Studio City, and I think I'm like poor, and then George Clooney like lives down the
no,
block.
No, the Valley, everyone thinks the Valley is ghetto. Deep in the Valley is weird.
Yeah, well,
it's a little weird.
That's
deep,
what I like,
but not,
deep in the
but
Valley.
We're not deep.
No, we're not deep.
We're
no.
not deep.
No, North Hollywood.
Yeah, that's where I went to school
that's
my whole
fun.
Life. I went to Campbell Hall from
did you?
Elementary to high school.
Oh, that's wild. I remember I took Mike Binder out to North Hollywood for Lee's comedy show. First time he's been out there in 30 years. He's lived here 30 years, never gone to North Hollywood. Never.
Really?
You almost
why
got hit
he
by
hating? Do you like? Do you go to Aroma Cafe?
Hating. I love Aroma
right?
Cafe. Yes.
Right?
Yes, I love Aroma
we
Cafe.
We like all the same things.
Well, that's because we have the same
when we're Leos.
Yeah, Leos. Leo's got good taste in food.
What's
good
your
actors.
Favorite? What's your favorite stuff right here?
My favorite out here. I love this Italian joint in
which?
Brentwood. It's
oh,
called
Pizza so
Codo.
Okay.
I know it is, but it's legit. All
right.
Other than that, I won't eat Italian pretty much anywhere. My favorite place in our area.
Well, Locio is really good. Have you been there?
No.
I used to work there.
No, I didn't know. I like the, what's the sushi joint on Ventura? Katsuya.
Right, the original. The OG Katsuya. Not like these other fancy
right, right,
fancy
right. The
Katsuya.
OG Katsuya. I like
you gotta
that.
Go to the OG Katsuya that's like still like 10-hour wait to get in.
Yeah, I love that.
The
I love
real
that.
One, not like the rest.
Can I tell you something disgusting? I'll
what?
Tell you something disgusting. Burbank, okay. All
right, what?
I found the only Chinese buffet on the planet. It's probably no good. But I go there like once a week because I'm, you know, I just got to eat.
Right.
But they don't have China buffets out here.
Well, I don't know. I'm not very into China buffets.
I found one, though, in Burbank.
But you're from Chicago, right?
Yeah.
So have you been to Joe Mantegna's spot, Taste Chicago?
I have. I like Joe.
Yeah.
I like Joe. I like the place.
They have the deep dish pizza right now.
Listen,
it's not the same.
Listen, Dominique. Look, when you're in Chicago,
look, I know, you gotta
I'll
do
take
it for
you
real.
For the legit,
let's
you know?
Do it, let's do it.
But Joe's
I want
close.
A Polish sausage.
Oh, I'm trying to get Mike to put in a Polish here. They do have a good Polish at Vicious Dogs in North Hollywood. It's good.
Where is it?
It's in North Hollywood, Vicious Dogs on Lancashire.
Vicious Dogs.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Yeah, Lancashire, yeah. And then they got the Otis Jackson Soul Dogs. Have you been there?
No, I don't know anything.
Soul food,
you know everything.
And hot dogs. I've only been here 6 months. How do I know
really?
More than you? Yeah.
You just got here? You're still in the honeymoon period?
Henry's Tacos. Henry's Tacos.
Yeah, so
cheapest shit ever.
Yeah, well,
great.
That's like... That's just high school for
yeah,
me.
When you got a buzz
that's
going so, and you need a cheap
or you're
taco.
Like, come over and that's like, that's a fine. You can't eat one. You can't even eat two. You have
no.
to eat seven.
Well, that's
maybe.
Why they cost
least,
like $1.50 because they want you to have seven.
No, because they're tiny.
Do you go to any of the bars in the area or anything? I told Lee to go to the Starlight. He went to the Starlight.
Did you go to this? What's in there? I've always wondered.
I love
I've
it. I always
by
wanted
there my
to know.
Entire life.
I love it. I love it. And then the Foxfire. The Foxfire, they got karaoke on Sunday
night. Have
you
ever been to the Dimples karaoke?
Dimples.
That's kind of creepy.
Yeah. Jennifer Love Hewitt goes there.
Does she? She lives in my hood.
Yeah, she does. And she goes there and does karaoke, which is kind of like weird because that's a gimme. Like, she's a recording artist.
Well, I mean, it's just a weird setup they have there,
yeah,
right?
It's kind of dingy.
It's just like a weird, it's like an abandoned Disney ride.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
got weird, like, mechanical dolls, like, doing things, and you wear costumes. And,
that's great, an abandoned
and they film
Disney
you.
Ride. Yeah.
Not even Disney. It's like more abandoned, like Knott's Berry Farm ride.
What's even creepier is the one night my friend went there, and Jennifer Love Hewitt was there. Dennis Haskins from Saved by the Bell was there.
Which one's that?
Principal Belding.
Really?
And he was singing.
How's
like,
he doing?
I don't know how he's doing. Judging from this video, I saw him singing not well.
Wow.
Not,
what did he
not
sing?
Not well. Living on a Prayer, Bon Jovi.
That's so like,
creepy. Kind of creepy.
How cliche karaoke song can
you
do
you karaoke
get?
At all?
Of course. It's an
you don't do dimples,
for bad
though,
singers.
Do you?
I've done it.
You do dimples, really?
Yes, and I do Aerosmith. It's like my
which
ghost.
Aerosmith do you do?
I'm Crying.
Oh, that's good.
Right?
That's good.
I did it there. It's on tape. It's somewhere.
Wow.
But I like that, and I like to do country.
You like country?
Karaoke.
Who's some of your favorite country artists that you karaoke?
No, I'll do like... I always do like the duet of like the Kid Rock Sheryl Crow song.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
picture,
I've done that. I did that in Nashville.
Really?
At a place called Lonnie's. Have you ever been to Nashville?
No,
like,
I haven't been
like
to Nashville.
It's like a really cool karaoke spot.
Charles has been to Nashville.
Have you?
We had some. No,
there?
No, Lee. Like, Charles, yeah, he was in Nashville.
Charlie?
Yeah, and he was telling us a story earlier today about him, some girl, in a parking garage.
What was it?
We
should get him back on the phone. He got so scared.
Yeah.
You like totally like.
I love how Dominique thought that was a great idea. She doesn't listen to the show.
Oh, is he bad news?
No, he's great news. It's just Charles gets really dirty.
It's fine. I have a really dirty sense of humor. I bet I'm worse than him.
Charles, all right, we're going to have to call Charles because I do want him to tell you a story.
What story?
He was on the bus telling this dirty story too. And some woman in front of him thought he was a big pervert.
Listen. Nothing shocks these ears.
Hello?
Charles.
Charlie.
Dominique wanted
Hello?
Me to call you, Chucky.
What's up?
Dominique wanted me to call you, Chucky. She wants to hear one of your dirty stories.
Yeah, please. Don't be shy.
Oh my goodness.
Give us a new one, though.
I don't
on
have
in.
A new one.
Give us a new one.
Give
her
the
one.
I just told you
give her
my newest one.
I know, but give her a good one. Give her a classic. Give
we
her your
have,
cherry
like,
cherry, Neil Diamond.
O'clock?
Yeah, they got beers here. You can have them.
Charles, what am I telling her now?
You're telling Dominique one of your dirty stories. Go.
All right. Should I tell you your favorite one?
Oh yeah.
So which one?
Okay.
Whatever
my
you
favorite.
Think is the best. Don't hold back.
Okay. Wait, did you say hold on?
Don't go.
No,
no,
don't hold back.
Go big or go home.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood. Sorry. Okay, so about a couple years ago, I was out or whatever, and I was heavily intoxicated, and I decided not to go home, that I would go to the awful bar two blocks from where I live called Touch of Class.
Called what?
Touch of Class. So I went there. It's anything but classy. It's just a dive shithole. But I went there, and I started drinking heavily, and I started talking to some girl. I don't remember how or what was said. But we were hanging out, and her, like, brother was there, and, like, the Lemmy facial hair with the cowboy hat, and it was awful. And we were talking and stuff, and, you know, bar closes at 4 or 5 a.m., so the lights came on, and she was like, well, what do you want to do? And I'm like, well, I don't know. She's like, you want to go back to my place? And I'm like, yeah, sure. So hop in her car, and we drive to her place, and she pulls into a trailer park lot.
Oh, cool.
Oh, cool.
You really know how to pick them. Let's go.
Yeah. So we go into the trailer park, and right as she puts her key in to unlock the door, she looks at me very seriously and says, sorry, don't mind the mess. My 16-year-old son is a pig.
Wait.
Now, in my head, I'm... Wait. Sorry?
How old is she? You don't know.
Well, that... I have no idea. In my head, I'm like, all right, I'm 24, so she is a 16-year-old kid. We could say the earliest she would have a kid was 16, so she's probably 32, but probably older.
Yeah.
I have no idea. So we go inside, and the place, the trailer park, is a big size. And, you know, we start making out, and we have sex and everything, and then afterwards she starts smoking. She smoked like 30 cigarettes. It was disgusting. And we both kind of pass out. And the next morning she wakes up and she's like, well, do you want to get breakfast or something? And I'm like, I have to get out of here. So I start acting like I'm not feeling good. And I'm like, I have to go to the bathroom. And I went to the bathroom and I like flushed the toilet a couple times and I was like putting water on my face. And I'm like, I have to get out of here really bad. So I come back and I'm like, I don't really feel good. I'm like, I think I drank too much last night. She's like, do you want me to drop you off? And I'm like, yeah, I hate to do that. I feel like a... Was. She's like, oh, no problem, it's okay. But she takes me back, and I'm like, crap, I don't want this girl knowing where I live. So I made her drop me off like a block from where I live. And I was like, oh, this is me, second apartment to the right. And she's like, oh, so we like kind of kissed in the car, and I was like, all right. She's like, call me, and I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I'm never calling him.
Yeah.
So I got out of my car, and I ran towards like this condo building, and it just so happened there was like part of the wall on the outside came out a little bit, so you couldn't see it. So I just ran, and I hid behind there, and I watched as she not only drove by, but I actually watched the deer drive by on the busy streets, which was a block away. And I was like, oh, fuck. And it was pouring rain out, so I had to run a block home in the rain because I didn't want her to know where I lived.
Listen.
Listen.
Wait, did you get a glimpse of how the estimate you think of how old she was once you guys woke up?
An estimate.
I'm guessing like 34, 35.
Okay.
Yeah, Chuck.
I mean, that's not that dirty of a story.
Okay, but this is the same guy that talks about
anal beads.
Oh, really?
Anal beads. He's in the anal beads.
Oh,
that's disgusting.
My God. Somebody, as a joke, 1 year for my birthday, bought me anal beads.
Oh, my God.
And then the next year for my birthday, she bought me a blow-up doll. So what I did for her birthday is I went to the porn store, and I bought a frickin' 35-inch double-sided dildo, and I put a baby bonnet on it, and I tucked it in her bed. And she hopped in bed, and she found it, and she screamed. But the best part was when she was moved, this was in college, when she was moving back home, she forgot that she had it, and her mom found it, and her mom freaked out, and it was hilarious.
Oh, my God. You're the worst friend ever.
See, what Dominique
does... I still talk to her all the time. We just had lunch last week.
Oh, that's good.
What Chuck doesn't want to tell you is he really likes to...
She likes to dirty talk.
Yeah, he likes dirty talk.
God. Now I can't show this interview to my parents.
Oh,
it just went south.
Oh, no, no, no. Poor Andy. Andy's not going to hear you, Chuck, about your 35-inch dildos.
Yeah. This just went south.
That's
so
bad. You know what? That's what he was hoping, though. He was hoping. That's why he was mad that I called him again.
Oh, my
He's
God.
He's like, but what if Andy's listening?
I knew you wanted to embarrass me somehow.
I didn't want to. She wanted to call you.
Chuck sounds like my best guy friend from college who was from Chicago.
Oh, then all my guy friends would be your best guy friends,
yeah,
unfortunately.
Yeah, like exactly the same accent.
Oh,
exactly
we're the worst. We're
the worst people?
Yeah, this weekend we went out, and I don't know why women even look at us. I don't know. We went to the Victorian in Santa Monica with Louis Lombardi, and every girl that walks by, I got to say something. I'm not inappropriate. I go, hey. You know, I can't find words.
There's a lot of stuck-up bitches in this town.
Yeah, a lot of them. Not a lot of fun people.
There is.
Not a lot of fun people.
No.
He also does that in Chicago. A girl will be walking by, be like, hey. And then she'll walk by and he'll be like, I think she likes me. I'll be like, she likes me.
That may be true. I was telling Dominique she's got to come to Chicago and try all the good food there.
You know, I haven't been. And I've never been by myself. I went with my dad for a couple of days when he was shooting Ocean's 12 there.
Oh, yeah.
And when I was
that
little...
That was in, like, Wilmette or whatever?
Yeah. And then when I was little, when he shot The Untouchables.
Untouchables.
So that's the only two times I've been. But I have a good friend of mine that's living there now. I need to visit. They're filming a lot of movies there.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
I don't think the tax credit's that good, though. But, yes,
was,
they are.
Right?
It was. I don't know if it is now. Charles?
No, it's still lowered. That was the only good thing that Blagojevich did, is he lowered all the taxes for TV shows and films to film there. And now, because of Boss, they got a whole studio.
That's true, they are.
I forgot.
Boss
are you guys
Stars.
Really like into Stars because of Boss? You guys like
He
Boss?
Won't watch it because he works for a politician.
Really?
He can't
I work in Chicago politics, so I can't watch it.
Why?
Most
It'll just
friends.
Aggravate me.
He goes for comfort?
Yeah.
Fine.
I have another friend, though, who's a politician and loves the show because
right.
he has a huge ego and he's really into that kind of thing. He thinks he's watching him.
Well, as long as Chuck is watching Magic City, that's all.
Chuck, are you watching Magic City?
I have the second and third episode DVR'd. I plan on getting to them this weekend before the wedding I go to.
All right. I do have unfortunate news for you, Charles. Dominique does not get naked on the show.
As sad as I am to hear that, I will still watch.
You're still going to watch? Okay, good. I didn't want you to go in with big expectations or anything.
That's all right. It's a good show.
There's still plenty other boobs, Chuck.
Yeah.
That's what they're hired for.
I feel like a lot of people are really, kind of talking about how there's so much nudity, but I feel like every show right now is like that.
Yeah, every show is like that. Yeah.
Shameless has a lot.
But I just happen to like this kind of nudity. Miami Beach, it's just all very flashy.
People in Miami already wear very little clothing.
Love it.
In these days, it's just so hot.
I wear so little clothing when I go to Miami Beach.
No, I mean, it's really hot, but you go to a club there and it's like, if I'm in jeans and a t-shirt, it's like I might as well be wearing, a parka and I mean, everyone's really short skirts, shorts, everything very short. Everything.
I want to wear a Speedo in Miami Beach.
I mean, you wouldn't be the first. I've seen this man ride his bike around Miami.
She's going to compare me to the worst man on the planet now.
Listen, there's this man who's really tan, and he rides his bike with a flesh-colored thong all over Miami, and it's totally legal. in the middle of the day, all over. And I would see him multiple times, and I just was so confused. And
Charles,
I don't know how he wasn't arrested.
Charles,
yeah,
do you want
to... not me, Matt.
Do you want to go on vacation to Miami Beach this summer?
I don't want to run into him, but I would go to Miami Beach.
You do want to run into him.
Louis Lombardi keeps saying he's on hold. I don't see Louis Lombardi on hold. You know who Louis Lombardi is? No? He's the actor. He was on 24 and Entourage, and he's been in a ton of movies.
Okay.
But,
Sopranos.
Sopranos. Of course, Sopranos. I can't believe I forgot that.
I'm very bad with names. I'm good with faces.
Yeah. I'm not good with names either. It's no big deal.
You show me a picture of him.
Oh, okay. Show her a picture of Louis. Show her a picture of Lombardi.
You always do the show in here?
Yeah.
I like it.
Well, I tried to.
I like your style.
Yeah, do you?
You're like on his Facebook. You are ready for that. I don't know him.
You don't know Lewis?
I want to know him.
Funny. I want to know him.
He looks like fun.
He is fun.
Scared that like maybe I worked with him and I didn't remember.
I thought that's why I was calling in. I'm going through like all your stuff in my head. I'm like, he wasn't in that.
Yeah, I don't know.
No.
And I'm bad with names. I'm losing my memory.
Yeah.
I'm getting old.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I feel that way. What's it like? So we have one big question for
you
because you're my age. Okay. So I come out here, I do this show, I'm trying to break into the business. I'm trying to act, I'm trying to write, right? You're my age. Now, you got a little bit of a head start because you've been doing it longer, you've been out here longer, you've been auditioning longer, the whole process. But what are the keys? What are the keys to getting off the ground? What are the keys for getting your first thing going? Or do you just like, my whole thing is you try 100 things and hopefully one time you hear yes.
Focus on the one thing that you really want to do and just keep on trucking. I mean, I don't really think there's any kind of formula to it.
There wasn't for you?
No, my thing was just study hard, keep going, keep auditioning. It's just like literally just doing that over and over and over again. And my dad always told me this thing, and he told me this for years, and he was like, you know, when you get that part that will, like, kind of change everything for you, that part's going to be so easy to get, like, in a crazy, it's not going to be, like, this
really?
Huge. And that's sort of how Magic City was for me. It was, like, kind of, like, you know.
Yeah, Mitch knows you. Come on in,
like,
read
come on
for
in,
it.
Read three times.
Chemistry test went
even
great.
Even though I still
boom,
thought
boom,
I
boom.
Wasn't going to get it because I thought it was sort of too good to be true. But it wasn't something that it was, like, I had to do this crazy preparation or research for. I just sort of knew her, and in that sort of sense, easy, you know?
Yeah.
And so he was right with that. And I mean, it took like a long time, but you know, for him, it took him like 7 years to get a gig.
Yeah.
So because of that, I never thought it was something that came easy. So I just think it's just go for it and don't give up, and that's all it is. Some people get their first audition.
This is
but
my
that's
this
crazy.
Is, yeah, right, right.
You know what I mean? They're like,
yeah.
But you know.
This is our 100th show.
Oh, congrats!
And I am so happy that you're our 100th guest.
Really?
I gotta tell you. I think our audience is gonna agree with me too. I think you're one of the coolest people we've had in the show.
Oh.
You're very laid back, down to earth, funny.
Thanks.
Yeah, yeah. You really rolled with everything.
Of course.
Magic City is a great show, so
thank
I
you.
Have no like problem pimping the shit out of it.
Yeah,
I
that's
love
gotta
it.
Suck, right? When you don't like it, but you like have to, or do you just not take those people?
Here's what I do: when I don't like something, I decide my job isn't to like or not like something. My job is to find the good, and to ask questions and to comment on the good, or to ask questions about the actual process.
Right.
Or so I don't. Judge anything I do on this show based off of if I like it or not. But I try to get everyone on this show from things I like. And we've been trying to get you for weeks.
Oh, really?
Because I love Magic
City. I've been in Miami for 10 days.
Yeah, this was our plan. Why is my mother calling in?
Just wanted to call and congratulate you on your 100th show, dear.
Okay.
Because there was just a phone away from me before.
Okay, well, thank you, Ma. Ma, you want to say hi to Dominique, our guest?
What'd you say?
Do you want to say hello to our guest, Dominique Garcia?
Hello, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, how are you?
I'm fine. Did I hear you were just in Miami? Because I'm down in Tampa right now.
Oh, yeah, I was just there for like 10 days.
Not as many Cubans in Tampa, man.
Ah, cool. All right, well, I will let you go finish interviewing. Our table's just about ready. I just wanted to call and congratulate you.
Okay, see you later, man. I love you. Okay.
Bye.
Love you, too.
All right,
bye.
That was sweet.
Okay.
That was a good moment.
Was it?
Yeah, that was a good moment.
I'm
that was a better moment than Chuck. Chuck left, right?
Oh, no, thanks. No, I'm still here, but I'm going to go.
No, I was just kidding. Chuck, what have you been, why have you been
You've
so
been
silent?
Creeping.
That was a creepy move.
What was a creepy move?
You've just been sitting there listening. Like a sponge.
I haven't.
I'm a little embarrassed because Dominique's not going to Dimples with me anymore now. My mother just called and embarrassed
good.
Me.
Why did she embarrass you? Well, your best friend was talking about anal beads.
That, for some reason, doesn't
say
embarrass
hi,
me. I know, she's the best.
That was really sweet.
She's nice.
Oh, yeah, Matt makes me tell these stories at his family parties.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
It's possible I have. We got Dennis Lee from Jesus Henry Christ coming
out.
Have you seen
eating.
That movie?
No.
Have you seen that it's coming out or whatever?
I haven't seen
it's
like
Tony
any
Collette
movies.
And Michael Sheen.
I should see it.
Yeah.
I don't get out much. Wait,
neither
but
I
want to ask you, are you a sports fan?
Yeah, I'm a big sports fan.
What's your team?
Yeah, Chicago teams, of course. But I do like the Lakers.
Yeah, well, I'm really big, like, psycho fan.
Me too.
The Lakers?
Yeah.
Not the Bulls?
I'm really big at... I just love Magic Johnson, always have.
Did you see the announcement? Did you see the documentary?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Great, right?
Oh, yeah. And then, I just bought the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And I
But you're a Dodgers fan?
Now that Magic bought the Dodgers, I'm
but
a...
But you're, not actually a Chicago team fan. That was a huge lie.
I do. I like the White Sox a lot. I'm a big White Sox fan.
Oh, see, those are not that popular, eh?
I'm not a popular person.
You're not. You like to go...
No.
Against the grain.
Yeah, well, I don't try to. Yeah. It just so happens my taste...
Matthew, you better say you're a Blackhawks fan.
I do love the Chicago Blackhawks, absolutely.
What's
How about
that?
The Miami Marlins? You like them? Your dad likes them,
I don't
them,
like
right?
baseball.
Does your dad watch baseball? Does
He's
he
not
like
so
Miami?
We're very into basketball and football. I mean, I'm
you don't
a
like the Heat, do you?
I hate the Heat.
Thank you, I do too.
Here's
I hate
the thing.
Them.
I'm like a psycho NBA junkie.
Me too.
I fall asleep to SportsCenter every night.
Do you watch the NBA in the house, or do you like go out and watch it? I go out and watch it all the time.
I watch it in the house, or I go to the game. We've had season tickets my whole life, so we're
oh,
like
you go to the game.
You go to the games, and I'll watch.
I go to Tin Horn Flats. You go to the fucking
game. No, but
game.
But I go. I watch it. I watch it at a bar too, or I watch it at home. I'm like very ADD. I get distracted, so I kind of need to like watch. You know, and I like to hear what they're saying.
Yeah.
Like commenting on and
yeah.
And it that game last night, dude.
Yeah, I'll even listen to it on the radio. You listen
to
it.
Yeah,
I'll
listen to the radio. Yeah.
I'll be in the car. I'll have the game on.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
For
I love the Lakers.
No, I love them. I'm a huge Kobe fan.
I don't think they're gonna win this year.
Whatever.
Do
I
you?
Still believe. I mean, I.
Do you believe or do you? Do, but let's be.
I do
okay,
believe.
I believe. I'm with you on the believe.
Yeah.
But on the reality surface.
Whatever. The Dallas won last year. I didn't see
That's
that coming.
True. That's true.
I think in the end, like...
I think they're hurting without Lamar, though. I know he wasn't good with Dallas, but I think they need him as a backup. I think they need him as a sixth man.
I'm going back to my workout.
He's over it.
Charles,
he
your
the
workout?
Lakers.
Oh,
yeah, I'm
please.
Working out.
Oh, go to hell.
What do you mean? It's happy hour.
I hung up on him. Go work out, Charles.
I think what we really needed was a point guard, so I'm liking
Yeah, that Chris
question.
Paul deal that...
That was
I
horrible.
Love, I like Ramon.
I love him, and
he drives
was playing
right
amazing
up the lane. Yeah.
We haven't had a point guard like that, like with that style, since like Van Exel.
Yeah. But that can go right up the lane like
yeah,
that,
Yeah, right up
too.
The lane, and just it's
He's got some power.
I think he's
got
pretty
speed.
Good. He's young, but...
Yeah, but there was no room for him in Cleveland. It's not that he's not like a top 15 point guard. It's just they had no room for him in
right.
Cleveland. They had no room.
No, I think he was a good fit. I think that just...
I agree.
I think
good.
The Lakers have always had the same problem, is that
they
know,
got
they'll
no
start
bench.
Strong and then... Well, last year we had an amazing bench and look what
but
happened.
They got no,
you just don't
yeah.
know.
And you like Steve Blake?
Yeah.
Matt Barnes?
Yeah.
Barnes is streaky, though. He's very streaky.
Yeah, I think he's pretty consistent.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the thing with the Lakers has always been that, you know, we struggle in the third quarter, and that's always kind of...
Yes.
You know, and that's the issue.
Yes. Do you trade Paul at the end of the season?
Do I trade...
They're going to have to trade somebody. We're,
it depends
we're 20
who we
million
get.
Over the cap.
It depends
It's
going to
be a cap move. We're probably not going to get much. Probably draft picks.
Who knows? It's hard to say. We messed up so many trades this year.
I know. I think they're going to trade
Paul, though. That whole CP3 thing was just awful.
It pissed me off.
It wasn't our fault.
Can I tell you how pissed I was about that?
I mean, I was a raging, like, maniac. Like, I almost started a riot.
I was at that South Street Philly sandwich place on Olive when it was going on, and they traded for him. And I called up, like, five people.
I was online, on TV, on the phone. I was like a psycho, like...
Yeah.
I was ready to start some kind of, I don't know what.
Because I'm a fat ass, I go back there the next day. Same place. I'm watching the TV, ESPN. No trade. What? I'm calling up people around the horn again. What the hell happened? All my NBA fans. We needed Chris Paul. If we had Chris Paul, we'd be so far ahead of everyone else right now. Not even funny.
I mean, that's exactly why. And if we had Chris Paul, we might have gotten off as Dwight Howard.
I don't know. You ready for Dennis?
All
Dominique.
Right. We got
to. You were fantastic. I know, it is.
You know?
It is. We need to do a picture, though, or something, don't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, we do.
Okay. All right, so I'll play like a song or something. I don't
what
know.
What should
to
we play?
I don't know. What do you like? Give me a song you like right now. What do you like?
Like something new?
Yeah, whatever.
No,
no
really
new, old. I don't listen to new stuff, though.
Neither do I. I listen to old stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Oh,
what
I got an
I
idea. I know what you like.
You're going to guess?
I'm going to guess. I'm going to roll the dice here that you're a fan of this.
This is good.
That's right? Okay.
Yeah, it's good.
All right. Magic City, Friday nights, right?
Yes, Friday's at 10.
Yeah.
Third episode airs this Friday.
10, 9 Central for my Chicagoites. And
right.
Third episode's this Friday.
Yes.
I just watched third episode last night.
Yeah.
You got to watch it.
It's
good.
The best of the three, I think, even though I'm in one scene.
Yeah. And yeah, yeah. You are only...
I'm very little in this episode, but it's a great episode. It's very dark, gritty.
Yeah. Yeah, the
ending. Great cliffhanger.
The ending's a cliffhanger. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So,
Magic City, I love the show. Dominique Garcia she's going to be something. I really mean it.
Thank
I really
you.
Do. Really do. Bomb in my heart.
Thanks. Well, I'd love to come back.
Oh, I'd love to have you back whenever you want.
Whenever. I'm just going to stalk you. I'm just going to show up. And now I know where you work.
Do it.
It's a free restaurant.
Do it. That's all we need.
Awesome.
All right, here we go. Crying by Aerosmith. Dennis.
Yes.
I apologize. I was rambling like a madman.
Ramble on.
Let's talk about Jesus Henry Christ.
All right.
In theaters this
yeah.
Friday. That would be 4:20. Did you plan that out, Dennis? Was that on you? The 4:20?
You mean the pot day?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, we're all...
You know, someone said that to me, though. They said that to me. Well, when we were at the screening last night, they go, oh, they must have... They put this on purpose. Because, you know, you got some... Look, I got to tell you, man. I really dug the directing of the film.
Thank you.
I thought you had some great shots, but this was a student film at one point, was it not?
Yeah, it was.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. When it was a student film, what shots did you keep and which ones didn't you? And I know this helps no one that hasn't seen it so far, but I just kind of need to know. Hi, Michael. How are you? Okay. Saw him yesterday.
the style of the student film is pretty much exactly the style.
Did you open up with the shot on the backpack?
How did I open?
No one remembers your student masterpiece?
I don't remember my student film. You remember? Yeah. Oh, you know, it opened on a typewriter.
Oh, okay.
It was an overhead of a typewriter. So you saw that in the film.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, so
yeah.
That was the same shot.
Okay, all right, there's
I just
scene.
Ripped off my student film.
Oh, so. Yeah, that's good. That's a good start. At least it's your own film you're ripping
exactly,
off.
Exactly, right?
Dennis, I got a bunch of questions for you. I don't
sure.
know where to even begin, so I'm just going to jump all around. Michael Sheen, by the way, and Toni Collette give such great performances in this movie. And what's the child actor's name that plays Henry?
Jason Spivak.
And then his half-sister.
Samantha Weinstein.
Or possible half-sister. You got to watch the movie and find out.
Exactly. You got to leave some mystery out there.
There is a lot of mystery, but there is a great scene that is worth seeing this film alone for.
Yeah.
And... Well, there's a bunch of them, and I like how it leads up to this one scene with the post-it notes in
right.
the office with Michael Sheen and the hurricane winds.
Right.
Okay. Windiest day in Chicago history.
Yeah.
Okay. How do you shoot that scene? Is that special effects? Is that...
Some of it was special effects. A lot of it was practical. We had, you know, tens of thousands of post-its up on the walls. We
wow.
had post-its that were all crumpled up in boxes, ready to go. And we had a lot of leaf blowers.
It's visually beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a great scene because Michael Sheen throughout this whole movie, you'll see with the post-it notes. But it all makes sense leading up to this one final scene with him in his office.
Yeah.
Well, no, there was another scene afterwards in his office.
Yeah.
But yes, yes, this is a big climactic scene. And I just think visually you got to see this shot.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a film fan, I think it's a great shot.
Oh, thank you.
I think it's great. I want to ask you about some of your choices, though.
Sure.
Okay. We're both from Chicago.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, now you do. Matthew Aaron, Dennis Lee, Chicago guys.
Excellent.
All right. What was your choice behind... It's not like... You don't use the city.
Mm-hmm.
You don't use, like... You don't see Lake Michigan, for instance.
Right.
So you don't use all the things people know Chicago for. Why that choice? I was interested by that.
Money.
Money.
Yeah.
So it was a money thing.
It was a money thing. I think, you know, part of it was that we had, in the script, you have all the Chicago icons.
Yeah.
You know, we had this whole thing set in the John Hancock building. We had, it was originally supposed to be the University of Chicago.
Yeah.
And all those things. But, you know, we're on a tight budget. We're an indie film, and we maximized all the money we could by shooting up in Toronto.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. I want to ask you then about this.
Yeah.
Michael Sheen, as I said, and Toni Collette. Great performances in this film. Julia Roberts is an executive producer on the film. So let's start there. Let's start the making of the film.
Yeah.
Who's involved from the beginning? Is she one of the ones involved from the beginning? Because she did your first film.
She did.
With Ryan Reynolds and Willem Dafoe. And by the way, how'd you get that cast for the first film? I got to hear this background. Okay. I got to hear the background for this.
The cast came on because, I hope they came on because they really enjoyed the script. They wanted to be part of the process of making this into a film. But, you know, I mean, Julia's a big draw. She was one
Fireflies
of
in the
on.
Garden, the film
yeah.
is. Yeah, and but,
she's the big draw.
Yeah, and, but the tons of good, great actors in your first film.
Yeah.
Now, how do you get to make your first movie and get... So Julia's involved and then everyone else kind of comes together? They want to work with Julia or...
I think so. I
it's
think,
a great
know,
script.
Yeah.
You had a whole kind of, you know,
it was a really
perfect storm.
It was.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. You know, we just had... you know, that was before Ryan, God bless him. He's just the nicest guy in the world. That was before the proposal.
Yeah.
So that's before he became... You know,
became Ryan Reynolds. Yeah, right,
you know?
Right. Blew up,
and so we were able to find him off a movie called The Nines.
Yeah,
which was a really good film.
Yeah, I know of The Nines. Yeah,
and that was it. You know.
So what happens then from Fireflies in the Garden to Jesus Henry Christ? What is the progression? What happens?
Progression.
Because we know you did this as a student film,
right?
And then you did your fellowship at ABC.
Right. Wow, you did your research.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I was very interested in that because you fellowed on a show that I really liked, at least the first four seasons of Brothers and Sisters.
Okay.
So I was really interested in this process for you. So this is a film you did in college. You did Fireflies in the Garden. Take me to first day of production, between the end of Fireflies in the Garden and first day of production.
Well, what happened is Julia wanted to, she just pretty much asked if I had anything else that I wanted to make.
Really?
Yeah, so I handed her the script to Jesus Henry Christ, and she gave me a phone call. And, you know, she said in her lovely voice, she's like, Dennis, I think I have the muscle to help get this movie made.
Really?
And from that point on, we were off to the races.
That's great.
Yeah.
Wow. I love how Julia says, I think I have the muscle.
Yeah, I know.
Look, I'll try, Dennis. I'll pull a string or two. I don't know if I can.
No, she's awesome.
She's great, huh?
Yeah, she really is. She's just...
So she's obviously
she's awesome.
Seen Jesus Henry Christ.
Yeah.
What was it like the first time you showed it to Julia?
Oh, I was scared.
Yeah, you were scared?
Yeah, of course, you know. I mean, I don't even watch my own movies.
And what was her reaction?
She really enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's great.
She enjoyed it, so... You know, that makes it all worthwhile.
Talk to me about the soundtrack for this film. The
soundtrack's amazing.
You made some really interesting choices. Was that just you, or did you have other people involved with you? Because Mike Binder, who owns this restaurant,
mm-hmm.
I know he makes a lot of his soundtrack choices.
Okay.
Especially in Rain Over Me with Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
All those songs were Mike.
Yeah.
Even Eddie Vedder covering The Who.
Yeah.
It was Mike.
Okay.
So what, for you, were the choices soundtrack-wise?
Well, I mean, we have our composer right here. He's sitting at that table.
Wow.
Yeah. So Simon,
bringing the big guns to my show. Hi there.
So Simon did the composition along with another composer named David Torn.
The score was good.
Yeah, and they made an amazing score. The soundtrack in itself, the needle drops.
Yeah.
You know, we had an amazing.
I like that, the needle drops.
The needle drops.
Dennis, you dork.
Yeah, I know, right? Hey, I still listen to vinyl.
I love it. Me too. Yeah. Me too.
So,
that's why I love it.
she had just, you know, a range of bands, like new music that I'd never heard of from up-and-coming bands.
Yeah.
She's the one who just filled my iPod with stuff to listen to.
And you were just like, I like this, I like this.
And we could have, and then, you know, I'd say, I like this. And she goes, well, you can't afford that, but you can afford this.
That's great.
You know? So that's how it came together.
That's great. So let me then ask you, this script is a very complicated theme. I mean, I read, my comment I made to my co-host Lee was when we saw it, I'm reading the notes, you know. I didn't know what the movie was about. I haven't seen a preview, nothing.
Good.
Went into it clean, you know, and I like doing that.
Yeah.
And I'm reading the notes and I'm like, oh, my God, this is one of those meaning to life movies, or what is, you know? And I'm like, uphill climb, Dennis, uphill climb. How do you pull off doing a movie with that big of a theme?
Well, it is a meaning of
life. And making it a comedy.
You know, I mean, it's Henry's asking the same questions I think we all ask, which is like, you know, why am I here?
Yeah.
You know, what's the purpose of my being? And he's trying to find the answers and finding out the only thing that he doesn't really know, the identity of his father. So he goes on this journey, and that's where the comedy comes in. You know, the situations are kind of absurd.
Yeah, and Tony and Michael are great with the comedy. And who, I'm sorry, who plays Tony's father in the film, Stan?
Frank Moore.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
He was really good.
Yeah,
really
awesome.
Good. Really good. I want to ask you then, you're talking about, when you said why.
Yeah.
Henry asked that question in the kindergarten scene.
Right.
He says, why are we doing this?
Right.
Was that a choice on purpose in the script to kind of put forth what the movie's going to be about?
The way that it was originally structured in the screenplay, that was the first scene.
Okay.
You know, so you see the letter Y, and that's basically the first image, like why.
Okay.
You know. And I used to be a kindergarten teacher, so it was one of those things that we used to always have to drill our kids on how to phonetically say the word letter Y.
Yeah.
So that was it.
Now, what is your, for you, you had to make a movie about a kid who is smarter than everyone in the room.
Right.
Those movies are very hard to make.
Right.
A lot of those kind of movies people walk out of and it's the precocious kid and they can't stand them.
Yeah.
Are you aware of this when you're making the movie? Are you aware that you have to make him relatable and likable even to an older audience who thinks he's smarter than they are? Do you ever play any of that does any of that ever come into play? Or are you just like, this is how I wrote the script. I don't really care about an audience. I care about the story.
Yeah.
You just cared about the story.
No, of course you care about the audience, right?
Yeah.
You want the audience to react well to the film because you want to be able to make another film after this thing.
Yeah.
You know? But not, you know, to a degree, I just didn't care.
Right.
You know, the situation that Henry's in, I think a lot of us can relate to.
Yeah.
So once you can relate to and engage with a character like that on an emotional level, then you can understand, you know, he's just a kid. At the end of the day, he's like a 10-year-old kid.
Well, I think that was, and whether you, obviously you're not saying you did that on purpose, but I think you have to do that because it makes them relatable.
You see
a lot of these movies where the kids are just,
they're
too smarmy and smart. And
I'm not advocating this, but you kind of just want to slap those kids away.
Right. And, you know, I will say what I like about Henry in this movie is Henry is likable.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I just remember everything. I'm not smart, though.
Yeah.
I'm just a 10-year-old outside of, I have this gift to visually memorize things. So I think that was a really good, I think that's a good character build.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I think, you know, we all equate being smart with being able to memorize stuff. And I think that's the way we were taught, you know, when we were kids in school.
Yeah.
But just because you can memorize an entire book doesn't mean you understand.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree. Yeah, so. Okay, that's great. What made you come up with this concept to begin with? Was it just something you just imagined?
Yeah, just kind of
it was in the Dennis Lee imagination?
Well, what I wanted to do was ask that central question of, like, why? Like, why are we here? And,
but how'd you come up with a kid who has a visualization and can talk at, like, 6-9 months?
Yeah.
And where'd this all come from?
Oh, that was just, you know, maybe that has something to do with 420. I have no idea. You know, you just write it out, you imagine it, and you're like, the next morning you wake up and you reread, and you're like, oh, that's pretty funny still.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, Mom.
What was it like for you, though, working with Michael Sheen and Toni Collette? Toni's done comedy and Michael's done comedy, but, I mean, they had to play a very... they have to play a very dry sense of humor. You know, they have to be very real, straight.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's it like directing actors in a script like this, where it's wacky but it's played straight?
Yeah.
How do you direct actors for that?
Well, I mean, you know, Toni and Michael will bring their own take to the characters, and most of the time they're so right that you don't even want to touch what they've done. But every once in a while, you just give an adjustment. You know, just a slight little tweak in their performance that helps it come closer to what you imagine in your head. Now with Michael, I mean, we were on a 23-day shooting schedule, so just incredibly tight schedule all the way around. And Michael was like a one-take actor, you know?
Wow,
which was a blessing because we could just move from one shot to the next.
He's a great actor.
It's just a matter of, I've said this before.
I'm just glad he wasn't playing Tony Blair in this movie.
Yeah.
Take a break, Michael.
Take a break, right. But, you know, he's one of those actors that, given the right role, he'll break it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think that happened here.
Yeah.
What other projects do you have for the future? What are you planning on? Are you going to work with Julia again? Are you going to go studio route? Or are you going to go... Because it's hard to make a studio film nowadays.
Yeah,
it's always been hard. Now it's like
hard.
Super hard.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if I could go the studio route with the right project, it'd be awesome.
Yeah.
You know, but as you said, I mean, that's like capturing lightning in a bottle. And I'm not going to say that's impossible because in a way I've kind of done that. I've been fortunate enough to be in that position. But the next project up is going to go in October, November.
So you already got it. It's green lit. You're going.
I hope so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have anything you can give on us for that? Is there a story?
Yeah.
Is there a cast?
It's a coming-of-age story set in the Texas Hill Country.
Okay.
And it's all about... You have to kind of see it to understand it, but it's all about tow truck companies.
I get this idea with you that you're a very visual guy, Dennis. This is a visual movie.
It is, yeah.
Jesus Henry Christ, like I said, with the directing and the DOP and everyone that worked on this, this is visual.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great shots in this movie.
Thanks.
So I get a feeling when you're writing out this script, you're already visualizing it as a director. Is that accurate?
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
so
if I don't visualize it, then I have a hard time writing, and I just put it down for a while.
Yeah.
You know?
I got to say, I'm really impressed with your style, man.
Thank you. I really dig you.
I think you're a cool dude. I do. I'm watching this movie, and I'm like, he's working with two seasoned vets, but he's working with some new kids. And they just blend well. There's good chemistry there.
Yeah. They were cool.
Was that anything you had to work on, the chemistry?
No, not at all.
Really?
Well, I mean, we didn't have time, you know? I mean, we didn't have time for the cast to come together beforehand because, you know, Michael and Toni each were working on projects before this. And so when they got to Toronto, they hit the ground running.
Yeah.
You know? They had to immediately go to shoot. And
who's some of the people that inspire you as directors? When I look at your finished product, even subconsciously, who has inspired you?
Kubrick. Yeah, I'd say Kubrick is the only one.
I can see that.
You know, he's so still with the camera sometimes that it's fantastic.
That was going to be my comment about the stillness and the colors.
Yeah, the stillness, the colors, and it's Kubrick.
Yeah, wow. You know what? I'm glad someone still says that answer. I haven't heard that one in a while, which is shocking.
What do people usually say?
I got Robert Altman a few months ago, which I was happy with. But, you know, you usually get the standards. You get the Spielbergs, the Scorsese's. Okay. You know.
All right.
And that's great. But
yeah.
Kubrick, that's good. That's good that people are still inspired by Stan.
Everyone does.
I find younger people just aren't watching those movies anymore. It's really bothersome. I talked to someone in this business, and I never thought I'd say this, in this business who hasn't seen Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, my God.
I thought that's like you have to get into, like, Hollywood.
Yeah.
Like, at the doorway, you had to have seen Full Metal Jacket.
Right.
I guess not, you know, or at least The Shining. Fuck, you know, Robert Altman, Popeye, okay?
Right.
I'll take Popeye,
right,
all right?
Right.
What are some of your films growing up that really inspired you?
Oh, God.
You have a Dr. Strangelove kind of sense of humor, I could tell.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
That was a great... I mean, the films that I grew up on were the films my parents watched.
Okay.
So my dad loved... You know, he loved, like, The Bicycle Thief.
Oh, we were just talking about that movie,
you know?
Yeah.
He loved all of the, like, Italian neorealism, the French New Wave, all that stuff. You know, because that's what he grew up on.
So you were in a very
cultured
house.
No, not really. That
no,
was pretty
just
much
the movie.
Extent of our culture, you know?
where, when you're a kid, does your dad go out and get these 70s, like, 60s and 70s New Wave movies?
No, I don't know. I don't remember, but
He had some black market I want to know about.
But I remember he had them on VHS. And
wow!
And if they were ever playing, like in downtown Chicago, was that art theater?
Which one? The Music Box?
Is it the Music Box? Yeah. You know, we would go see it. And my mom was a huge Audrey Hepburn fan. So,
yeah.
You know, we went to go see all the Audrey Hepburn films.
Do you ever go to the Arrow or anything like that out here?
I don't go to any theaters anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I got two kids.
Oh, so you don't have time. You don't
have time
to go to theaters anymore. They're young.
They're young.
Yeah,
they're
so you can't leave the house.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have like a little theater in your house? Do you have it like set up so you can watch?
I thought you meant like a little theater of water and food for them.
No, but do you have like the big screen in the house and the sound system?
Yeah, we
do. So you can still watch your movies.
Yeah, we do.
Is it like a projection though, or okay?
We're not that fancy. I'm not that wealthy.
Fancy.
No, not at all. I'm still paying off student loans.
Is the dream though to get a movie theater in your house, in your own home?
I think the dream is to actually buy a house at this point, right? And afford the mortgage.
Hey, you know what? I'm with you on that.
You know?
Well, my first dream is get a job. Then my second dream is to maybe pay off my debts. Then buy a house.
Yeah.
Third dream.
Yeah.
Third
dream is the house. I would say my first dream is to pay off my debts.
Yeah.
That's just choking you.
So you're one step ahead of me. You got the job. Now you got to pay off the debts.
You know, some
UFC's not cheap.
No, it's not.
No.
No.
How tough was that school, University of Chicago, for those listening?
No, I didn't know any better.
Yeah.
Right? So for me, it was just normal. But, you know, everyone I talk to, and they go, so where'd you go to college? I went to University of Chicago. They're like, holy crap.
Yeah.
You know?
I believe Ari Emanuel
90
went to
seconds.
Yeah.
Isn't that true?
Yeah, now he's what?
There you go.
He's our mayor?
I think he does something. Yeah, he's like the mayor of Hollywood.
Yeah.
We always joke around.
Oh, Ari, I thought you were talking about Rahm for a second.
Oh, Rahm. Yeah, Rahm. Yeah. Well, Rahm went there too, I thought. And but we were always joking around how like Ari Emanuel's like the president of Hollywood. And
pretty much, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he had a whole show that made him the president.
Yeah, they sure did. They sure went out of their way for that.
Yeah.
So Henry Jesus Christ opens in theaters Friday.
60 seconds.
This British woman. We're going to go probably a couple minutes into overtime for those at home on our 100th episode here. And thanks for joining me for the 100th, Dennis.
This is the 100th.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yes, I can't believe it, to be honest. I don't think I thought we'd do 10.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah.
That's a big marker.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do today?
Absolutely nothing's come of it, and I'm still broke, and I'm going to go home and cry into a Angus hamburger you have to microwave.
There you go. Actually, you know, our lives aren't too different then. You know? I've made two films. Not much money has come out.